basically, time is just a dimension of the universe. It doesn't flow backwards or forwards like people seem to think it does. It just exists. It's basically just there. That's what music is about. It's about timing. You know, because there's sounds going around you all the time, all day long, all night long. You know, there's always sounds. You're always perceiving sounds, but they're not always organized into time units. That's what music is. They're organized time units. But they're basically the same kind of sounds that you hear all around the world, only they're put together in one tiny little area, like on the neck of a guitar or on a keyboard or in a drum. And they're expressed in certain bits at certain times to have a specific effect. You know, they're that's why they're called instruments. They're like a doctor's instruments. You know, they're basically musicians are the doctors of the sound world. They can be soldiers too. You know, there are those that use music to kill people and to harm them. Because when you hear sounds, when you perceive sounds with your ears, it affects your entire central nervous system and thereby the physiological functioning of your body. And that's why a lot of people are dyslexic from the time they're babies, because they're always interrupted. You know, everything that they say is interrupted with 10 or 15 other people putting little tiny bits and pieces of what they want to say into it, because they don't agree with what the people are saying, so they try to cut it off and change it into what they want said. You know, that's what destroys people. You know, because they think that sounds only affect the ears. They think that they only affect the eardrums, right? You know, but they affect your entire body. You know, there are people that have such abrasive voices on this planet that their entire existence, the sounds that they make are all weaponry. Every sound that their body makes is a killing sound. Everything that they say kills. Like that guy's slicing off my entire left arm right now with the way he's looking at me. People don't believe that stuff. You know, we all feel it, but we don't do anything to the people that are doing it to us. That's the problem. And you know, when I came out to California, people started making fun of me because I didn't drive a Beamer. And now I'm a stinky homeless person that eats out of trash cans, so that means they get to try out all their theories on me. So, you know, that's why I love California so much. Everything's surface, you know, it's all polished up and bright and shiny on the outside. And most of it's poisoned and stagnant and cancerous on the inside. That's why I don't go in these buildings, and I hardly ever do business with these people. I'm not saying that everyone in Los Angeles is like that. I had this dream one time, and in this dream, America was this big dog, right? And Los Angeles represented a big tick on the dog. I don't know which part of the dog it was on, but the gist of the dream was that the tick was so full of the blood of the dog that it was sucking the blood from, because there's only one, that the blood was becoming stagnant and the tick was about to explode. You know, because the energy that's coming from Los Angeles, it's like somebody that's taken so many drugs that they know they're gonna die, but they don't want to. This city, Los Angeles, is a living creature. It's a real living creature, see? And the tick that's killing it won't let go. It's about ready to explode. And as soon as it explodes, the blood of the city is going to spew all over the planet. Because the head of the tick will still be there, and there'll be an open vein, an open pipe, and the blood of the city itself will begin spewing all over the world. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to stop it, because it's real. Because if this tick explodes, there's gonna be a whole bunch of little scary monsters running around all over the planet. And we won't be able to get rid of them. Geneticists and computer scientists are really working together towards a better future for everyone, you know, because, you know, there's these clones that have perfect bodies, but there's nothing in their minds, right? And there's these computer geniuses nowadays that have this idea of implanting a silicone chip on a person's medulla and recording all of the experiences, the sensory experiences of that person throughout their life from their medulla, from their central nervous system, onto the computer chip, and implanting it in a perfectly shaped clone that doesn't have anything in its mind, and erasing the bad parts of that person's life, and activating this clone with the person's personality and their experiences already inside. So it's basically the same person in another body. That's their version of heaven on earth. But there's a lot of people that want to kill them because they think that's unnatural. And there's a lot of people that are disturbing some real sensitive experiments and instruments just because they don't want it to happen. Got everyone's energy in it. You know, we're all here together, but we all want to live in our little stinkholes and keep them neighbors away from us. That's why these people hurt so bad, because they're separationists. They're separating themselves from everyone else on the entire planet. That's why their garbage is festering and stinking, because no one uses it. Basically, it turns into a giant cancerous, disgusting, pervertedly stagnant organism. And they don't realize that because they want to look good, looking strong, feeling good, looking tall, you know. They believe that heaven is someplace way out in outer space, another planet that some guy named God lives on, you know. They have this disgusting patriarchal religion that kills people. Adopted me. She's been trying to rape me since I was a child. One time I was in my bathroom in her house, you know, recently, just before I took my daily shower, my well-established habit, you know. And she was used to looking at me, you know, at my body. You know, she was used to looking at me because I'm her kid, because she bought me from the hospital, right? So she can look at me all she wants to because I'm her kid. One time she came flying into the bathroom while I was about half naked, right? But she decided it was time, you know, that one day, you know, that special moment, you know. And, you know, I closed the door and I threw her out, you know, because she's just a skinny little old lady, and here I am, a 16-year-old kid, ready to kill her for looking at me like that. You know, she's bumping up against me and getting, she's been flirting with me for about 5 or 6 years now, and I'm starting to wonder what the hell's going on, you know, wondering whether she's really trying to make something of it or something like that, you know. And you know what she said? She said, "When did you get so shy?" Just like the ladies on the soap operas like to say. You know, when I was in Hawaii, you know, I got the word from outer space that I'm the self-proclaimed king of the universe, but that's me saying that, not them. Yeah, that's me doing that. See, these people here, I'm defaming their character just by being here. That's why they're standing here looking at us, you know, because they don't believe in that kind of stuff. They're just waiting for the light to change. And these are the last days for this planet. Remember I told you time is just a dimension? It's really just a dimension. It's a place to go. That's why people that play drums are so spaced out, because they're time creatures. They eat time. They live off of time. When their time is taken away from them, it kills them. They're being starved. Jesus has only been here for 2,000 years, right? And long, long before he ever came along, Jurassic Park was here. The Buddha, he was an Indian prince. He's not from Japan. Jesus is not from Ness City, Kansas. They're stealing everything.
that your mama wants to come back from the dead?
My mama's not dead.
Well, now, are you lying or what? You tell me the truth now.
I don't have no reason to lie to you, mister.
Well, now, I don't...
And especially about my mama.
I know. Well, now, here's the thing now. I deal in mysticism. I'm the Maharishi Ottar, born under the sign of Aquarius, Egyptus of the Nile. I bring back dead people. Is there anybody dead that you would like to bring back?
Uh-uh.
Anybody at all?
No. I had told Mr. Cook just now that I had wanted to talk to him about it.
No, no. What I do is I usually meet with about 5 or 6 people. We go into a dark room and put our hands on the table. Say the Lord's Prayer and we bring back the spirits. Is there anybody dead you would like to have back?
Mm-mm. I'm scared of spirits.
I can't hear you.
I say I'm scared of spirits.
Now, it's nothing to be scared of. The Lord sanctions spirits. It's a friendly seance.
Mm-mm. Spirits is the devil work.
What?
Spirits is the devil work because thus you come and thus you go.
No.
After you're dead, you know nothing, you hear nothing, no, you see nothing.
No. Have you ever seen a spirit?
No.
You want to?
No.
What?
No.
Why?
I just don't want to see none. I have no reason to want to see
Madam,
none.
Can I come over to your house tonight?
No.
I want to come over and talk to you. And well, bring a spirit along with me.
Well, you leave that spirit where it at, and you stay where you at.
But it's not a mean spirit.
I don't want no kind of spirit.
I won't charge you a cent.
I don't want to see no spirit. I don't want to be bothered with no spirit. I don't want no spirit around me. I see a spirit, I wouldn't be able to sleep for months.
Do you believe in spirits?
Nope. I believe, let me tell you, I believe
I'll bring it over and show him.
Uh-uh, I don't want to see him.
I'm coming tonight.
You ain't coming to my house tonight.
You don't want to see the spirit?
No, I don't want to see no spirit.
Sister, there's nothing to get frightened of.
Uh-uh, I don't want to see no spirit.
Why?
Because I said I don't want to see no spirit. And you see, first place, Alice lied to you. She really did. If she told you that,
Alice belongs to the occult.
What is that?
Alice is one of our members of the spirits.
Alice is a spirit?
She is a member of our spirit group. In other words, Alice can bring the spirits back.
What you mean? She can bring the spirit back where?
She can bring them back from the dead.
Oh, she can?
Mm-hmm. I'll have her come over with me tonight, too.
You are not coming to my house, and Alice isn't either.
Oh, do you like Alice or what?
I have nothing against Alice. She is a very, very sweet person. She is a good neighbor. It is nothing in the world. I don't believe...
Well, we'll be over about 7:30, 8, as soon as it gets dark.
Well, I bet you won't come in my house.
Well, you don't like Alice, or what is it?
I love Alice.
You don't trust us?
I don't trust a spirit.
Are you afraid?
I am.
You're
I,
not afraid?
I am afraid.
No, you aren't.
Yes, I am. You don't tell me what I am. I'm not...
Do you love Jesus?
I know I love Jesus. And I
well, then you're not afraid.
I know Jesus don't do crazy work like that. I know it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I know God
Sister,
knows.
Sister, this is religious worship. We're no devil
that.
People.
I can't have that.
I'm very religious. I'm a preacher.
Look, I'm not going to say that because I don't know you. I don't know what you are. You understand what I mean?
Will you pray with me?
Just like I say, I don't know Alice that well. She's a neighbor of mine.
Alice is a spirit.
Anything. Well, we all are spirits once we die.
Will you pray with me?
When?
Now.
Pray. Go ahead and pray.
Repeat after me. Oh, Lord.
Uh-uh.
Say a prayer with me.
Uh-uh.
I want to put a hex on you.
Uh-uh.
Oh, Lord. Say it with me. Is Alice over there?
Uh-uh.
Tell her to come talk to me.
I'll go see if she's home.
No. Who's this? What is your name?
Uh-uh.
Give me your name and everything.
Uh-uh.
Tonight the spirit shall come to your house.
Uh-uh. You ain't getting my
I am coming over.
Well, you insist on coming on somewhere where you're not welcome.
I am welcome in your house. You just don't know I am. I bring with me the love of the spirits. They want to contact you.
No spirit want to contact me.
Why do you say this?
Because I'm not afraid of spirits.
You are not afraid. You are not afraid. You are not afraid.
Don't repeat it the third
you
time.
You are not afraid. Why not?
Because I ask you not.
Are you superstitious about three?
Well, kind of look, kind of.
Three.
13.
Say
13.
Say 6.
I can't say it.
Say what?
None of it.
None of what?
What you said.
Oh, you mean 13?
I guess so.
We'll try to say 13.
I can't.
Can't what?
Can't say it.
What's it?
I tell you what, you call me when my husband come back and tell him that.
Is he going to be home tonight?
Yep.
I'll be over there.
And Phoebe?
And we're going to have a seance.
And if you be over here when he come, oh, but I know a trick to the trade.
What's he going to do?
Come and see. Is he a spirit? Huh?
Is he a spirit?
Come and see.
I'll be over tonight at 8. Have some flowers ready.
So what?
Flowers.
What kind of flowers?
Rose pine needle wish wash.
Well, honey, I'll tell you.
Order them from the florist shop and have them waiting at the seance table.
I almost flipped out in Manhattan, became psychotic. I was very paranoid, thought people were trying to kill me. And sometimes, for some people, I get this negative, this cliche is like vibrations, or you sense that they're like against you, or they're out to get you or something. I don't know if it's my mind, or if it's, has a basis in fact. I have no idea. I think I've overheard people saying negative things about me, but again, maybe that's just something in my mind conjured up from my, I don't know, you know. But I have had people give me like threatening gestures on the street. I think partly because I walk funny, you know. I've always walked, I have like a quirk in my walk. A twitch or something like that. And some people think maybe I'm homosexual. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I dress and look and act and, you know, my posture. I don't know what it is, but that bothers me sometimes, you know. I think people think I'm gay, and I'm not. I love women. People yell out of their cars to me something like faggot or, you know. I've actually had that, you know. That's been done to me. I was drinking cognac in Paris, in the Pigalle area, and I was alone. It was a rather dangerous area, late at night. I went into this bar, and I sat down, and I talked to this guy about Dylan. Can you imagine that? He's like, I don't know. And he knew, you know, he liked him, so he put on that he didn't. And so we were talking, having a drink. I was getting drunk, and I'd been walking around on the street drinking out of a bottle, and just, you know. And then I didn't realize that I think it was like a gay bar or there were transvestites there. And he took me in the back. I said I wanted to meet a lady. And he takes me back there. And that's that night I think I was drugged, and I don't know what the hell happened. I honestly don't happen. I woke up the next morning. I think I told you that story once before. And I was in a car on a street away from where I had been the night before. And I was just sitting there alone. I woke up. I'd been unconscious, for Christ's sake. Damn near died, I guess. And like an idiot, I get out and I walk out. I was all disheveled and, I mean, just totally, a massive hangover. And I should have stayed in the car or sat near, you know, concealed myself near the car, see who came by and kick the shit out of them or, you know, try to find out what happened. But I wandered back through the subway. I had been robbed. had no money. Yeah, that was very strange to write, I must say.
A couple of times I've actually blacked out and didn't remember a thing about what happened. I woke up one morning in California. I had gotten off a Greyhound bus on the way from San Francisco to Oregon. And I didn't even remember getting off the bus. And I woke up under a truck. A semi-trailer truck that was parked in a field, an olive field, and this was in Corning, California, which is supposed to be the olive capital of the world, they say. They boast, and they do grow a lot of olives there, olive trees. But and I had gotten off the bus with this old country western singer. He had never made a record, but he sings and has a guitar, and he sang a little on the bus. And we shared a bottle of vodka. And I think somebody slipped some pills and medication into one of the bottles, because the next morning I saw some white sediment on the bottom. And I shared, shared the bottle with a guy behind me, a young guy that came on in San Francisco. And I didn't trust him the first time I saw him for some reason. You know, you get bad vibrations from some people. And the next thing I knew, I was like out. I didn't remember a thing. You know, I keep harking back to meeting the right lady, and you know, that's probably a crazy fantasy, but I do think it would help me a lot. Plus physical exercise and riding the bicycle, swimming, and trying to work out, and meditation, doing tarot cards maybe, or stuff like that. And music helps me a lot. I'm into a lot of sad music, laments and dirges and things, because I'm around a lot of death and dying and despair. When I'm having what I term a nervous breakdown, I become extremely paranoid, almost to the point where I'm willing to carry a gun or a weapon to defend myself against these demons or illusions that are. I sometimes think I hear voices in my head, you know, like maybe it's the voices of the people that I think are talking about me, about, you know, how what he looks like, or what a jerk he is, or. I don't know if it's generated from my mind, or if it's actual. Maybe they are talking about me. Maybe I am a jerk and an idiot. But other times I feel very secure about myself and confident, and I, you know, I could care less about what people really think about me. I think I could be drug-free if I get more involved in music and my literary interests and painting, and meet people who have similar interests. I just cannot find anybody creative that I can relate to, that have really similar interests in Celtic music and abstract painting and poetry. Antiques, stuff. It's, I don't know, God knows where they are. They must exist, but I cannot connect with anybody like that. I'm sometimes baffled at my stupidity after I do something, like if I pop a few too many pills, and I, you know, I say, why on God's earth did you do that? I mean, why don't you try to relax naturally, just, you know, take a few deep breaths, think about some poetry or something, like a haiku that I gave this Chinese doctor. It was, I could tell you if you're interested in it, but it's very relaxing. So it goes something like, on a one-ton temple bell, a moon moth folded into sleep sits still.
Let us pray together. Are you sick?
Yeah, I'm sick.
What seems to be the problem?
I had a stroke about 4 or 5 years ago, and I got high blood.
God bless you. God love you.
God bless you. God love you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Repeat after me. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
And Clytemnestra's daughter.
And Clytemnestra's daughter.
Take me and heal me.
Take me and heal me.
Roll me.
Roll me.
Beat me.
Beat me.
Slap me.
Slap me.
Let me be like a mouse.
Let me be like a mouse.
Inside a mouse trap.
Inside a mouse trap.
Feed me.
Feed me.
Bread.
Bread.
Wine.
Wine.
Hamsters.
Hamsters.
Rats.
Rats.
Bullfrogs.
Bulldogs.
African Eurasian tiger pussycats.
Tiger Asian tiger pussycats.
And love me, O Father.
And love me, O Father.
And pull the cotton from my earlobes.
And pull the cotton from my earlobes.
Louder, please.
And pull the cotton from my... Oh, Lord.
Take my soul.
Take my soul.
And put me over a barrel.
And put me over a barrel.
And pull my pants down.
And pull my pants down.
And slap me.
And slap me.
With the punishing rod.
With the punishing rod.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Louder, please. Louder.
Forgive me for my sins.
And take me to heaven.
And take me to heaven.
On a muskrat.
On a muskrat.
Let the adversity of my heart.
The adversity of my heart.
Stretch up.
Stretch up.
To the high wire.
Stretch up to the high wire.
And let me ride the bicycle.
Let me ride the bicycle.
Across Lake Charles.
Across Lake Charles.
Slap me.
Slap me.
Louder.
Loud. Slap me.
Make me.
Make me.
A divine...
A divine...
Procrastinator.
Procrastinator.
Louder, please. I can hardly hear you.
A procrastinator.
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 Take my conglomeration hold.
Take my conglomeration hold.
And re-circumcise my soul.
Re-circumcise my soul.
So that I will love thee.
So that I would love thee.
And worthily re-perpetrate.
Worthily perpetrate.
Re-perpetrate.
Perpetrate.
Re-perpetrate.
My soul.
With shotgun blasts.
Shotgun blasts.
Let us sing a song together. What song do you know? On the cross, the old rugged cross?
I know a little of that.
Sing it, brother, right now.
On the cross, at the cross, where I praise all the light.
Louder, brother. Amen.
When I praise.
Put your mouth closer to the phone. Amen.
Light.
Keep going, amen.
And the burden of my soul washed away.
Oh,
it was there by Christ. I received his sight.
Louder, pick it up now. Build it to something great.
It was there by Christ. I received the sight.
Hallelujah.
And now I am happy all the day.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you.
God love you.
Okay.
Let us say a prayer. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Loud now.
Oh, Lord.
Love me, Father.
Love me, Father.
Personify me in...
Personify me in...
The bullfrog.
The bullfrog.
Take me.
Take me.
By the foot.
By the foot.
Louder, please.
By the foot.
And drag me into the woods.
And drag me into the woods.
Dig a hole.
Dig a hole.
And let the leaves fall on top of my body.
And let the leaves fall on top of my body.
Hit me.
Hit me.
Slap me. Beat me.
Beat me.
Like a persimmon tree.
Like a persimmon tree.
And reincarnate me.
And reincarnate me.
In the form.
In the form.
Of.
Of.
A. Hamster. Love me, Father.
Love me, Father.
Beat me louder, please.
Love me, Father.
Love me like you do.
Love me like you do.
The little roach.
The little roach.
Louder.
The little roach, the little roach.
Take me.
Take me.
By.
The.
Jockstrap.
Jockstrap.
And thrash me.
And thrash.
But love me.
But love me.
Throw away my brassiere.
Throw away my brassiere.
And let me face thee.
And let me face thee.
Towards the holy city.
Towards the holy city.
Of Medina near the Tesh, near the Thames, at the right end of the north corner. And refurbish my memory so that I may go blank at any moment.
And refurbish my memory so that I may go blank at any moment.
And take my soul and take me to heaven, run around the cross, and I will sit in the chair and grab you by the doorknob.
And take me up to heaven now.
Louder, please.
Take me up to heaven and I'll sit in the chair and grab you like by the doorknob.
Let me love.
Let me love.
Grab my wife.
Grab my wife.
And get her.
And get her.
Get her.
Get her.
Hard.
Get her.
Let me love her.
Let me love her.
And cherish her.
And cherish her.
And pour wine.
And pour wine.
Into her hair.
Into her hair.
Let me pierce her.
Let me pierce her.
With my finger.
With my finger.
In
her.
Her.
Big.
Big. Nose.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Repeat after me. Asakapako.
Asitakpako.
As loud as you can, brother.
Asikapako.
Uchkalakataka.
Kaskushakakalakala.
Itsuko ochiki.
Akuchika chiki.
Peyo otabi.
Esquati.
Uko. Loud, brother.
I got to go to the restroom right now.
Loud, brother. We're almost finished. Is that as loud as you can talk? Loud, brother.
Brother.
Go, quick.
I'll
let you come up with a bat.
I'll
come up with a bat.
I'll
come with a bat. I'll come with a bat.
Oh, Lord.
Take me.
Take me.
Into the ashtray.
Into the ashtray.
On my head.
On my head.
And let me swim.
And let me swim.
In the sacred waters.
The sacred waters.
Of the Calcasieu River.
Of the Calcasieu River.
Forever.
Forever.
Brother, do you love me?
Oh, yeah.
Say, I love you.
I love you.
Loud.
I love you.
Loud.
I love you.
Is that as loud as you can talk?
I can't talk more loud.
Talk loud, brother.
I love you.
Mean it.
That's right.
Loud.
I love you.
Holler it.
I love you.
Put your mouth close to the receiver and holler it.
I love you.
Five times.
I love you. 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 I love you.
That was just four. Give me eight this time.
Huh?
Eight times.
Say what?
That was just four. As punishment, you have to say it eight times.
Say it eight times.
Eight times.
I love you. 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 I love you.
Amen.
I love you.
Loud.
I love you.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
You ain't through yet?
Brother, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Snap the button.
Snap the button.
On my underwear.
On my underwear.
And let my armpit.
And let my armpit.
Fall upon.
Fall upon.
The crawfish.
The crawfish.
On the ground.
On the ground.
Ready to listen. You are closer to us than our next breath of air. And yet we go through our daily lives so often as if you weren't there. Give us a sense of your presence with us today. As we travel about in our cars, as we go to work, as we do our chores around our houses, around our homes, give us a sense of your presence with us so that we can feel you with us in our daily routines and the challenges we face today.
We thank you, O God, for having taken care of us in the midst of the trials and tribulations and heartaches and sorrow and pain that we've had to undergo. We would pray that you would continue to strengthen the bond of fellowship and love in all of our hearts, that we might be able to forgive as we are forgiven and look to thee, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray, O God, that you bless the sick, the afflicted, the bereaved, the downcast, the downtrodden, and all your children everywhere. Let them know that you will not leave them nor forsake them, that you will not put on them that which they cannot bear, and that you will make ways for them when there seem to be no way. We pray that you would continue to guide and direct all our paths throughout this journey of life, ever mindful that we fall short of your glory, but forgive us, stand by us, preserve us, have mercy upon us. And O God, our Father, help us to continually know that earth has no sorrow, no heartache, no pain heaven can't heal. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I mean, worry is one of those things that we all participate in. We worry about finances, we worry about the future, we worry about what's going on, we worry about all kinds of things that might happen. We start to slow down and have some confidence. God is with us, promises to take care of us, won't abandon us, that we are loved, that someone is interested in us. No matter what the world around us says, no matter what your family says, no matter what people are close to you say, God is interested in you, interested in your well-being, your welfare, your future, and your hope, and loves you.
Have you ever been in an elevator, maybe in a big motel or hotel, and seen people get into the elevator and hold their bags, even while they're standing in the elevator, even though the bags might be heavy? Wouldn't it be much easier, more convenient, even less of a burden, if the person would place the heavy suitcase on the floor and allow the elevator to carry it? Maybe they've just become accustomed to the burden, or don't want to set it down just to pick it up again. We all, of course, would agree that we would be delighted to have any and all help we can get to help us carry our burdens. And yet we sometimes are like the people that are in the elevator. We want to carry our own problems all by ourselves. We refuse to accept any and all kinds of assistance. We sometimes give the impression that we are strong enough to carry all of our own problems. Would it not be better for us if we would realize more than we do that it is not necessary for any of us to carry our own burdens in life all by ourselves? God is ready, willing, and able to help us carry our burdens. Because God loves us, He wants to help us carry our burdens, our problems, our worries. Today, why not let the Lord help? And the way that we can let the Lord help is by taking our problems to Him, releasing them to Him, and saying, God, now these are yours.
We ask you to forgive us of our sins and for those times that we have walked in our own willful ways. Have mercy upon us and love us still. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And oh, thank you for Jesus. And now the one who has called because there is a need. And we ask, dear God, in your infinite mercy, if you would meet that need. Grant this your child strength for the journey, wisdom in decision making, light for the way, freedom from pain, and oh, the love of Jesus Christ. For all that you have done, dear Lord, we thank you. For what you will do, we thank you, because we trust your word, and your word says that you never forsake us or leave us alone.
Let me not think of myself more highly than I should, but let me be modest in my thinking and judge myself according to the amount of faith you have given me. May my love be completely sincere. May and I hope keep me joyful. May I be patient in troubles. Help me to bless those who persecute me, to be happy with those who are happy, to weep with those who weep. Help me to have the same concern for everyone.
We know how you created the rainbow and placed it within the sky to show us that your ends, the purpose of your creation for us, will never be thwarted, but will be fulfilled by your love and by your power. We invite you to place many rainbows throughout our lives today, at each place where we seem to be challenged or threatened, at each place that fear steps in, place a rainbow there and lift up our eyes to see it, that we might know that by your power and by your love, you lead us through and your purposes will be fulfilled.
All of us have had times when we've been restless and dissatisfied with ourselves and our lives. Perhaps we may not have known what caused our disquietude. We may have felt a vague yearning for inner fulfillment that outer things couldn't satisfy. Such a feeling might be considered a divine discontent, a need for assurance that our individual life is important and that our life's efforts are for a good purpose. The way to have peace of mind is found as we, in complete trust, place our life in God's care and keeping. And so it is. Amen.
You know, I have bliss sometimes. It's not joy, it's not happiness, it's bliss. It's totally unwarranted. It doesn't happen when I, have any reason for it to happen. And I never know when it will happen. And when it does, though, I think it's what I live for. And I guess that's a form of religion, I guess, for me, you know. I don't care if it's a chemical snafu or whatever it might be, you know, but it's, I love it. I love it when that happens. I might be driving the car, you know, and it'll just hit me. And it's a feeling of, it's beyond well-being or contentment or anything like that. It's just overpowering bliss, and I don't know where it comes from. I haven't had one in a while. I'm not sure how long. But I know that I will again. Someday. There are times when I get down enough and just that the knowledge of those moments and the memory of those moments and the trust that those moments will be again, that you know, that they are what I live for, that there's a reason to shake it off right then, just because I can remember those moments and know that there's a very good chance, there's a very perfectly good chance that I haven't seen the last of those. It is sort of being touched by something outside myself, but and if it really is something outside myself, but I don't need for it to be. But maybe it is. I wouldn't say that it isn't. But I couldn't love those moments more if they were God touching me.
He's a very attractive guy, and I'm not a bad-looking guy myself.
Uh-huh.
Well, I, you know, but I mean, mostly it's a physical attraction at this point. Is that right?
All about him?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It seems to, because I see the white lynx is in the act of, you know, biting his own calf. In other words, there's a distrust of the unconscious. There's
do he, he say he loves me. Is that, do that show that?
It shows some of that, but I mean, here's what I also see here is the magician, and the magician is capable of performing magic in a sense, you know, things that appear impossible, but often the magician is a double-sided sign, and the magician has to use often deception and trickery and manipulation to convince people of it, you see.
Oh, that mean he does love me?
Well, it means that there's a double side to him that you have to be very cautious of. You know, that's one thing I'm seeing. And because I'm seeing continued, in other words, you don't look like you're overburdened right now, but it looks like you get that way with a lot of sorrow, a lot of misery, a lot of loss. If you don't take it, you know, slowly. I mean, I'm seeing a chariot too, and here, you know, in other words, it looks like you could be headed towards a relationship, but not necessarily with this person. And it looks like the rivers and the waters there are pretty calm, but it could be deceiving. In other words, you have the chariot led by an eagle on red wheels, and the whirlwinds of the fire and the vision of Ezekiel. Now, what this means, to put it coming down to it, is that this water, although it appears calm,
I was calling for Loretta Terzi
of Traveler's Advantage. This is again the Tarot Hotline, but it was meant to be. What is it that's most important to you in your life right now?
Okay, I'm trying to reach Mrs. Terzi. Do I have the wrong number?
Well, let me see in the cards whether you can reach her or not. At the center, what I'm seeing is Miss Pezzi a person that is that withholds her emotions a lot?
I really don't know, sir. I'm just calling on behalf of Traveler's Advantage to speak with Mrs. Pezzi. Obviously, I do have the wrong number.
Do you have anything important, though, of concern to you besides this in your life right now?
I really do have to go. I believe I do have the wrong number.
Oh, I know you do. It was meant to be. I mean, there's a reason you have the wrong number. Is there a lot of obstacles in your life right now? You seem to be in a lot of pain. I'm seeing this in the Nine of Swords. What is concerning you? Have you had a quarrel recently?
So I really do need to go.
Is there some? I see a journey in your life. You're with Traveler's Advantage, aren't you?
Correct. That's what
I
told
you. Where are
you
thinking of going? Because I see this is going to be a lot of anxiety in this trip, but it will be successful. And I see a man, a woman, and a child. Do you have children?
No, sir. And
I see that you will have children in the Ten of Cups.
Is this
a double rainbow formation?
Is this,
and there's 10 golden cups in the sky, and there's a man and woman under it, and 2 children dancing in a circle. It's a very beautiful card, very pleasant aspect. What is your name?
Okay, so I hate to be rude, but is this number 484-3781?
484-3701?
Is that the number
that
I'm calling?
I'm not sure. No?
Okay, because obviously I do have the wrong number.
Yes.
And I'm sorry to have taken up your time.
Well, no, that's perfectly all right. But I see that the Wheel of Fortune is going to, that your destiny is very, very good. But I want you to watch, to be temperate, and watch out for the, I'm seeing a tower now with 12 flames coming out of the left side, which stands for the 12 tribes of Israel during the diaspora. Now, there's 10 flames coming out the right side of the tower, and that's good because that means a breakdown of an old belief system, you see, and a rebirth, a rejuvenation. So bless you. It's wonderful talking with you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
About how it was to live. He called me from... God forbid, he was in jail in Georgia. He had commandeered a yellow street sweeper in the middle of the night and drove it into the cemetery looking for a mailbox. And he was arrested and thrown in jail. And he called me jail. He said he was lonely. And when he died, he had stripped all of his paintings and books and films, and they was in a barren house except for a Bible and a picture of his son, and he shaved his head, and that's the way they found him. I miss everyone. I call friends, some dead, some living. You know those mornings when you wake up and you find yourself lying next to it and you don't know who it is or what it is, or what you've done with it or what you promised it. And then one morning you wake up and it's awake and it's looking at you. And you look at it and suddenly you realize that you've just become its it. Keep hoping. There'll be a sanctuary, that things will be different. Being lonely is like being poor. I mean, people can't take too much of it. They want to walk around you or get away because you know they know you're going to ask for something. And there's an ache in me, like it's like a part of my body that I can't wish away or pray away. Phones outside where I live, outside the drugstore, outside on the square, and even inside at the supermarket, and the people drop their quarters in and I can hear them yelling at each other and begging each other and saying, I won't see you again. It's right there on the street.
Not a thing. not a clue as to where the motel would be, so I start walking around, getting panicky now. I can't find my goddamn motel for the night. I finally hire a cab driver, and I gave him $20, and we drove around. I was trying to think in my mind, you know, retracing what happened from the train station to the motel, and I had the key number. There was no number on the key, but it was to room number 3, and so I actually went to a couple of motels that looked, you know, like it was the one I was on the bottom floor. I remember that. So I tried several rooms, which is kind of dangerous, just to try a room and, you know, knock on the door and somebody could think you were robbing them. I stayed up all that night. I felt like hell, you know. So the next day, I walk all around. I go to about 20 different motels that look possibly like the one I stayed in, you know, within a reasonable distance. And by this time, it was 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. The checkout time was 11 o'clock. And the motels and the people look so similar that I would sometimes go back to the same motel by mistake. And then I'd recognize the motel keeper, and they were getting annoyed at me. A couple of them were, geez, they said, you know, if you come back here again, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, madam, I have this receipt, and I showed it to her. And I said, I'm going to the police, because normally motels at least put a name on a receipt. Do you recognize this? There was a initials where the lady had apparently signed. And so the crux of the story, I finally suspect 3 possible motels that could have been the places, but all 3 denied that I had ever been there. And the police were no help. And then I never saw it again. I kept looking, and it was like a nightmare. I never found it. And my stuff is gone. I lost about $1,200.